Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 15th of November, recording at 8:50 p.m. And that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, the highlights. Stock markets, pretty good action here today, and particularly among the European indices. And Wall Street hasn't closed yet, but it's still showing some reasonable gains given the this is a follow-on, of course, from the earlier strength, but currently it's holding about half the gains we'd seen earlier in the day. Government bonds, they were firm yesterday, but a little bit of profit taking in here today. And the US dollar, this had strengthened, but then subsequently gave that up, so it's pretty flat on the day, and it has been generally a bit soft overall. Precious metals, this was really quite interesting. They opened up a little bit and then they went down and then they fell really quite sharply at one stage, and then mostly recovered. Actually, they more than recovered. We had silver actually close up on the day, and big tail on the candlestick chart showing that the sell-off was not maintained. Worth having a look at that. It's posted. And palladium had suffered, but then closed up fractionally on the day. I think gold, gold's up $2 as I speak, but it's 622.89, but it had been as low as 615.63. Now, that hasn't done any chart damage, but the precious metals had pretty well given up the surge that they saw during that one day last week, but they came down more slowly than they went up, and then bounced from the test of that bullish days lows. So interesting overall. Now, the industrial metals, which have been reeling a bit recently, also came off lows and mostly closed with gains on the day, and the only exception there was tin. Okay, let's go back now in terms of these global stock markets. Well, it's a good, orderly, consistent performance overall. And what we have seen by one market after another is a consolidation either a little below or mostly a little above their April-May highs. And in other words, you get a little trading range near that level, and then push on up and extend the overall advance. Well, that's classic bullish action, and I maintain that the risks this time around are much, much lower than they were back in April and May, because we have, of course, seen in the interim that very, very sharp stock market correction and then a support building phase. So that blew all the froth off stock markets, and they have since regrouped and pushed back up. So technically that looks pretty good. Although, I have been saying that some of these were a little bit overextended, so it's a little bit stretched, some of these trends, but I have emphasized, unlike last April and early May, I have emphasized that at that time where I was looking for a medium-term correction. At this stage of development, I see no risk beyond these small reactions and consolidations. Now, one day that will change and we'll see some dramatic downward dynamics. Hopefully we'll get some sort of signal prior to that of danger, such as some upward acceleration, and be prepared for another correction. But meanwhile, the trends are consistent. That's bullish. And also, we have the very, very seasonal factors to deal with as well, and that's really nice, quite a nice state of affairs. All right, among specific sectors here, the metals and mining shares, which over the last 12 months I think are in second place in terms of overall gains, they had been reeling a bit, as you probably know, in the last few days. I feel, as I said yesterday, that it's worth picking those who are interested. It's worth picking up those shares on little setbacks of that type. There certainly has been an awful lot of bearish comment on metals, as I've mentioned on a number of occasions, and as you have certainly seen, you forwarded many of those, some of you forwarded those reports to us. And I've described it as a bit of a concerted effort to get the sector down, but I certainly don't think they're going to stay down for very long, not with those valuations. And that would bode well for the UK market, which isn't quite as strong as Wall Street has been in here recently, but is still doing quite well overall. The Asian markets, they look generally terrific. Another sector that had been underperforming for some time, some of these oil and gas issues are beginning to do quite a bit better. And I looked, for instance, I'd opened that spread bet position in a speculative share. That was the Pacific ethanol. And I looked at that this morning when, of course, Wall Street was closed, and I thought, oh dear, this isn't I'm doing very well. It was down a bit, not much, about a dollar, but that's just rebounded very, very strongly in here today, and it's another nice little breakout on the chart. Currently, well, I've got a March contract, but it's up $1.60 as I speak. We haven't quite got the close on Wall Street. So producing another upward dynamic and breakout on the chart, which seems to be forming a nice little overall upward trend. Government bonds, you know my views on the sector. I don't think prices will be under any great pressure while oil is just ranging near current levels. That's a key factor in terms of the overall inflation sentiment, and I don't think bonds will do that badly while most analysts, most economists are debating whether the economic slowdown, such as it is continuing or whether it's likely to end anytime soon. So that cushions downside risk for bond, long-dated government bond prices. But my feeling is that the global economy has probably already bottomed, helped with this considerably by this weaker oil price, and that it has leveled out and may actually be starting to firm up once again. Now, it would take a spike in oil on the upside, which I do not expect. It would take, at least not now, or it would take another couple of rounds of higher interest rates in a number of leading countries to jeopardize that pickup in global GDP growth. Now, don't expect to see any evidence of that until, as I've said before, until late in the first quarter of 2007, due to the lagging nature of well, the delays that take place in compiling the data and assessing it and publishing it, and no doubt massaging it a bit as well. You know what governments are like. Okay, so don't like the government bonds much. US dollar, I think it has a downward bias. The US economy, I think, needs a softer dollar. The Asian currencies are the ones that can most withstand currency appreciation. The yen won't get much of that while the interest rate is zilch. So interest rate differentials are too negative there. And the Asian economies with the robust growth rates would have much, much stronger currencies if they didn't sit on them. In other words, they do manage those currencies very, very actively to prevent them from appreciating. But there will be, I think, will continue to be this gradual incremental appreciation in line with what, well, very much similar to what we see with the Chinese yuan. Okay, looking at the precious metals. Now, these are all in ranges, and the ranges make people a little bit more nervous, understandably. They're also a little bit, they're considerably less predictable than, for instance, the stock market indices, which have these very consistent, many of them at least, have very, these very consistent, elegant, rhythmic upward trends. Markets that are in ranging phases don't have anything like that, and they get little breakouts that fail, and they are choppy, and people are jumping in and out rather than just buying and holding and continuing to fuel advances, as we see with these stock market indices and, of course, many shares. Now, also, some of the precious metals had rallied up near previous highs. For instance, a classic example, I think silver got back up to the high that it had seen in September, and it fell very sharply from that level. So there's a little bit of nervousness up there. But the action overall is really quite favorable. October was a terrific month for the precious metals. A little bit of resistance recently, as I said, but they did well in here today, and I'm impressed by the tails that we've seen. I'll be, or I'll put it this way, I won't be surprised if we see some follow-through on the upside on Thursday and perhaps Friday. I won't be able to watch that. I'll be at the chart seminar, of course, but I will be coming back here to do a little bit of work, and including an audio. And the industrial metals. Well, I mentioned earlier, and I have mentioned repeatedly, that I felt that there was a concerted effort to get these things down on the part of people who would like to have another bite of the cherry. And that's the way the financial business works as well. They don't want markets to go up and just hover there, as the industrial metals were doing for a while. They want markets that get these swinging short to medium term moves on the upside, and then reverse the whole thing back down, let everybody come back on board, and so on, and just trade back and forth. That's the way those big broking houses, or one of the ways in which they certainly profit. So there has been quite a concerted effort here to talk these markets down. That's not some sort of paranoia on my part. You've seen the reports that have been flying around. Well, maybe they will. I noticed with copper that which has had the most bearish pattern or the least bullish pattern for some considerable time, that copper's also lost its backwardation. Now, it lost it temporarily the other day and then moved back into a small back, but certainly the big shortage is no longer there. And that really does beg the question, what else will hold copper up here in terms of the very short term, and where people were forced to stockpile copper before, they're now running down those inventories that they built up. In other words, people would buy more copper than they actually needed because they feared that if they didn't do that, they would have to pay more for it to the next week or the next month, whenever. Well, that's not the case anymore, and so they might have even let a little bit of that copper back out onto the market. Or they're just not buying anymore, but they're running down their in-house inventories, and that leaves the market vulnerable to a correction. But nevertheless, in here today, all those metals I mentioned in my a quick review at the beginning, they had all recovered from sell-offs or additional sell-offs earlier today. A number of them are down at support levels. I've posted daily charts for you to have a good look at those. And the only one that was actually down in here today was tin. So a respectable performance overall. I remain a bit wary, as I say, particularly regarding copper in the short term, but I don't look for anything other than medium-term corrections by these markets, and I remain very much an advocate, a believer in the commodity super cycle this time around for all the reasons that I've mentioned in such detail in the past. Crude oil helped the metals to recover a bit because it was down and then it moved up, although it's well off the highs of the day. Currently 58.73, that's up 45 cents on the NYMEX crude. Had been as high as 59.40. Still range trading these petroleum contracts. I suspect they'll go on doing that for quite some time, but that sideways ranging will inevitably support a recovery. Well, I've gone on long enough, and so I'll just say all the very best, and I look forward to seeing some of you, a number of you, at the chart seminar tomorrow and on Friday. Meanwhile, all the very best.